The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the shout of faith, about lifting up our voices with volume, with depth, with tone, expressing that faith that is in our hearts by the Holy Spirit with strength and authority. Do you lift up your voices to God with great strength when you pray to God, when you praise Him for joy and thanksgivings, and when you speak to encourage other people and preach the gospel? Do you speak that with strength? How about when the devil comes and fights against you with his temptations? Do you sit there in silence and let him barrage you with his attacks? Or do you lift up a voice and shout him down with the shout of faith? Is there such a thing as the shout of faith? Let's take a look in the scriptures and see what God would teach us about that today by his word. First of all, if we think about it, we Christians in the Lutheran Church are really a quieter sort of people, aren't we? We worship God in quiet, we're very respectful, we're reverent, but what have we to do with a shout, lifting up our voices with strength like that? If you think about it, I've never preached on this before. I've never heard a sermon preached on the shout of faith before. Have you, in any of the churches you've ever been to, heard it preached, the shout of faith? Well, we're going to hear it today, because God has a good word to teach us about that today in the scriptures. First of all, let's just consider this, the shout. Lifting up your voice with volume. That doesn't mean, by the way, screaming. It means lifting up your voice, using your tongue, using your lungs, using your volume and your depth. You're expressing your faith from your heart, lifting that up with might. Is that actually a good thing in the Bible? Yes. Let's take a look over here, first of all, at Job 38. See what we can learn there. This is God speaking about Job when he created the world. He says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, etc., when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" So who's that? The sons of God shouted for joy. Angels, there at the beginning of creation. They were shouting and lifting up their voices with might and joy at all the work God was doing to create the world. The shout is good. If you look over at Revelation chapter 5, John sees into heaven, and he sees this. "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice," say loud voice,
"loud voice.
"Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." So is heaven a loud or a quiet place? I think there's a lot of quiet there as well, but certainly there are great shouts of joy resounding in the tents of the righteous up above. Like the angels are like in this huge stadium, this thunderous applause, and their jubilant praising of Jesus. They can't contain themselves. They clap for joy as if in the shouting of trumpets. In fact, we see also in Revelation, John says, "I saw another angel," this is Revelation 10, "coming down from heaven, wrapped in the cloud, and a rainbow was over his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. And he called out with a loud voice, like a lion roaring." Think about that. He wasn't a little mouse squeaking. A lion roaring was the voice of the angel. You don't often see angels, in fact, never seen them whispering in the Bible. They may whisper, but they don't whisper in Scripture. They shout with great shouts of joy and speak with authority. And remember, this is not screams and shouts like that. This is speaking with power, is what I'm talking about today. And of course, we know God our Father in heaven, his voice, our Father's voice, is like the sound, the Bible says, of many waters. as if you were to hear the roaring of the sea upon the beaches. How about when God came to give the law at Mount Sinai? Let's take a look there and see whether that was a quiet event. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. The whole mountain quaked greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. So was that a quiet little murmurings and whisperings when God gave us the law? Boom! Came the roar of God's voice. That's amazing. The gospel, too, is to be preached with a mighty voice. It's the only volume that is fitting for the gospel. Who was the guy that came right before Jesus? John the Baptist. And what do we read about him in Isaiah? Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Let's see here. Isaiah 40. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, when it says cries there, was John in the wilderness going, oh, I'm sorry, is that what the cry means there? No, it means he's lifting, his spirit is stirred within him to proclaim the path of the Lord, the coming of the Christ. A few verses later, verse 10, God says, get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. So how does God want his gospel to be preached? With the power of a voice with depth and volume, as much as you can stir it up within you. And Peter certainly did that. Remember at Pentecost, when he stepped outside to all those crowds, he stood up amongst the 11 disciples. And it says in the Bible, he lifted up his voice. Then he preached to them the gospel, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you think he did that meekly or mightily? excuse me. Jesus, he died and he rose, and it should be nice if you believed in him. No. You killed him. God raised him. Believe on him and be saved in his name. I mean, it's the only volume that is fitting for the gospel. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Speak with courage. If you think about it, great noises always surround our Savior wherever he goes. Think about this verse in Luke 19. We read that one day when Jesus was drawing near to Jerusalem at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, etc. I mean, these people were going into great cheers as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. The scribes didn't like that. We read the Pharisees and the multitude. In the multitude said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Make them shut up and be quiet and silent. And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Think about that. When Jesus appears, even the rocks have to sing and shout the glory of his praises at the coming of Jesus. Great sounds surround our Savior. When he came, Jesus, we know, just read a moment ago, that when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, it says he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. He didn't say, Lazarus, come out. But he said, Lazarus, he cried it out with strength and authority of faith. And he says, come out. And the dead man came out. So the working of miracles is accompanied most often, it seems, by loud voices, with strength and authority. The Father, our Father, our God in heaven, he himself speaks mightily. Think about this one in Isaiah 42, verse 13. Says, "The Lord goes forth like a mighty man, like a man of war, he stirs up his fury. He cries out, he shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. When the Lord goes forth to war, he roars greater than any lion, the Lord of hosts." And when he comes to comfort us in the gospel, Zephaniah 3:17 says, "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on the day of a festival." Isn't that beautiful? That the Lord takes such delight in you being redeemed in Jesus Christ that he lifts up his voice. He's so stirred in spirit to sing over you with loud songs of joy as if at a festival. This is our God. So let me ask you a question. We've got God, we've got Jesus, we've got the angels, we've got preachers all speaking with mighty, loud voices, the shouts of the Lord. Should we be silent then in such company? Think we should sit here like meek, mild mice and squeak and mutter and chirp? Well, think about this verse. This is what God tells you and me here in Psalm 32. Verse 11, he says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Shout for joy, O Christians. Yes, even in the Lutheran church, shout for joy. Clap your hands, all peoples. Let's do that right to the Lord right now. Praise be to the Lord. Can you shout with me and sing loud songs of joy? Say, joy to the Lord.
Joy to the Lord.
Hey, that's a beautiful shout of faith. And we read in the Bible, "Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Didn't that feel great? I mean, look, your faces are brighter than when you shouted, before you shouted. So the voice of strength with praise to God, with joy and thanks, is lovely in his ears. We got to lift up the voice in the preaching of the gospel. We've got to lift it up in the Christian life when we wage war against the devil and all of his temptations and not just sit there in silence and take it. But we got to lift it up a strong voice. So God says to you and me right now, he says, "Lift up your voice, man. Be not silent. Lift it up that your voice may prevail." So why? Why should we lift up our voices? What's the power in that? Well, here's the answer. Because there is power in a voice uplifted, especially when it shouts of faith, Christian words. Now, if you think about it, even non-Christian, non-spiritual words have force to them, don't they? If you've ever taught a classroom and the children are unruly, running around like wild stallions, taking over like monkeys, what voice prevails? Sit, please. Sit. Children, sit down. Sit. Sit. Sit down. Sit down now! Then all of a sudden they're caught like a deer in the headlights and they obey your voice because they see there's power coming out of you. It's the voice of strength. Our voices have power. Do you know that even the wicked know such things? If you think about Goliath, there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Well, we read that all Israel and Saul, when they heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Notice, he didn't even draw a sword at this time, but his voice already defeated and crushed his enemies. So terrifying was his shout. We see that in the New Testament, don't we? When Pilate sought to release Jesus, he addressed the crowd once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they shouted out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So this is a war of words. Who can shout the louder? Because Pilate's hoping to release him. Why, what evil has he done? I have found no crime in him deserving death. I'll therefore chastise him and release him. He notches the volume to here, but the crowds, it says, notched it up to here. They were urgent, demanding with loud cries, quote, loud cries, that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. And he gave Jesus over to be crucified. So there is power even in the voices of wicked people. We know that. We know that in life, much of the wars in the world are won by who has the louder voice. Amen? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's a voice of strength comes from a strong heart, stirred up, animated, driven. And that's why, think about this. This is interesting. A depressed man or a defeated man can't shout anymore. If you go to someone who's totally down in the dumps and you say, shout, he's like, because there's no strength in him. The shout belongs only to the mighty. Think about that. And God calls us to raise up our voices as Christians, not just for shouting, because God doesn't like that, and not for any whim, and not for evil, but what I'm talking about with you today is the shout of faith, shouting your Christian faith, lifting that up out loud with authority and the power of it. Do you do that? Let's take a look. Is there power in the shout of a Christian if you were to lift your voice? Well, let's take a look at this example in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or let your voice be heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout." What am I talking about here? Jericho. When he's facing high and lofty walls, impregnable, impenetrable, insurpassable, the gateway and door to the promised land, it stood in their way like an iron fist. Who can remove these walls? How can they be overcome? Well, Joshua had them go about the city 7 days. On the seventh day, seven times around the city. And then he says, at the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout. Say, let's hear shout.
Shout.
And for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted.
Shout.
And the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people raised a great shout. And the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Is there power in the shout of a Christian?
Yes.
Lifting up your voice. Notice no sword was drawn. They didn't have a chisel in their hands for the stones of the wall, merely the shout. And what brought it down was the Lord himself responding to the shout of faith expressing itself out loud with a cry, and God brought the walls down for them. Do you have something impassable in your life that is impregnable? It's in your way. You want to go forward, but it is standing there like an iron fist. Well, do you sit there silently and just, I wonder what will happen, and just pray in silence? Or do you say, stand down, I'm coming through, I'm a Christian. Step up your faith. Speak it out loud. Another example of that would be if you look over a few pages to the right in Judges. This is Gideon. He is before an enemy army that is innumerable. You cannot count them for number. And we read that he surrounded them at night with only 300 men. They blew the trumpets and broke the jars, holding in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the army ran. They cried and fled. So what did Gideon do to destroy gazillions and bazillions of enemy armies? He had no sword drawn. All he did was a trumpet in a hand and a cry for the Lord, and the people scattered because the Lord worked in the voice of the crying of the people out of faith. Now, here's a little secret. Do you want to hear a fantastic secret? The shout of faith comes out of faith inside of us in God and Christ, but it's got to be voiced out the lips, out of the mouth. And that God responds to so mightily. But at the same time, not only do the lips follow the heart, but also, in another way, the heart will follow the lips. In other words, if your faith is not so strong and you don't feel like you can shout, just let your spirit say, hey, I'm going to shout against this anyway. Lift up words of the Christian against what's standing in my path. And as you begin to shout, you know what begins to happen? I can do all things in him who strengthens me. No. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I feel faith beginning to grow. No, wait. I can do all things. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And as our lips voice that out, it stirs faith inside of us, so the two follow. The body follows the heart, but also the heart follows the body. Lifting up a shout helps us to stir our faith, and God responds to that, giving us the victory. So it's important not to just sit there quietly fighting your battles in silence as Christians. There's times for silence, absolutely. But we're talking today about the shout of faith. What if you wanted to work a miracle? Well, when do we see the miracles worked in the Bible? At Lystra, there was a man sitting who couldn't use his feet. He was a cripple from birth, who had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and walked. Notice it's not a shaky, wobbly, stand, please, upright, but stand upright on your feet, man, in the name of the Lord. And he sprang up because it's authority coming out. It's not that the volume makes the miracle, but the volume is faith expressing itself in power. Force comes with it, the shout. What if you're wanting your prayers to be heard? You need faith to have your prayers to be heard. Well, the shout stirs up faith. The cords of death encompassed me, says David. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry reached his ears all the way up there. And he came down and delivered me and brought me into a broad place and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. The shout of faith. Use it in your prayers. And how about this? When the devil attacks you and temptations assail you, do you sit there, you know, in the temptation, do you battle it in your mind? You felt temptations today, I'm sure, or this week. The battle takes place in the mind. But the devil wants to have you battle out the temptations up here in the dark corners of your mind, in the alleyways of silence. It's so hard to fight a temptation up here. If the devil's peppering and barraging you with gunfire of a temptation, don't sit there in silence and just go, try to shake it off. Bring the battle out into the open field. Speak it out loud and say, I will not do that. That's not right. That's not the way of the Christian. And put him in his place. You know, Goliath, like the devil, stood against David, like you, the Christian. And he says, come to me and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Well, did David take that in silence? No. He shouted back with greater force at the giant, at the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. And this day the Lord shall give you into my hand, and I'll strike you down, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And who won that shouting match? David did. You, the Christian, do. That if the devil shouts at you, you got to shout louder than he, the words of faith. Put him in his place. Get the fight out into the open. And David prevailed later on with a stone and a sling, but the battle was already won in the shouting match before the battle. That's what really won it. God responded to the shout of faith and here came to deliver and give David the victory. Now, Rocky.
Hey, Adrian. Right, remember that with Mr. T? The third one, Rocky III? They face off the first battle and Mr. T goes, "You're dead meat."
That's a shout. What does Rocky do? He looks away, answers him not a word, and what happens? He gets his face kicked in. At the end of the movie, Mr. T says,
"I'm gonna bust you up."
Rocky looks him right in the eye and says,
"Go for it."
Notice, Mr. T is shaken at that moment. He's like, "This is not the man I fought before. There's something strange about this man. This is a new person." He has a shout of faith, if you will, in him. And Rocky beats him up in the movie. And as Mr. T comes against him, he says, "My mother hits harder than that. My mother hits harder than that." And down goes Mr. T, and up comes Rocky. Notice, it's the war of words. The Christian life is largely a shouting match. Does the Christian with his shout of faith prevail over the shouts of the world, the devil, and his temptations? Put him in his place. I'm telling you today, get the fight into the open. Don't fight in your brain only and in silence. Get it out into the open field and put him to death with outward words. It'll help you. It'll work because God responds to it. He says, "You can't work that God's given you to do." You say, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." "You're a loser." "No, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me." "You're going to die." "I will not die, but live and declare the deeds of the Lord." "You're a sinner. You're going to perish." "No, God so loved the world that he gave his son that I, believing on him, should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Thanks be to God, who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ." That's the word of Scripture spoken out loud, and you get the victory. The shout of faith, I tell you, will prevail. God says, "Lift up your voice with strength, man. Speak it out. I'm with you in it." And we see that in Jesus. We read, "In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard for his godly fear." He lived his life that way, and he died with a shout. For Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He rose again and ascended with a shout. For Psalm 47 says, "God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet." And he's coming again with a shout. For 1 Thessalonians says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God." And he's going to rejoice over you with a shout. For Zephaniah 3 again says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of a festival, songs of joy." So, don't neglect your voice. Lift it up, O Christians, with vigor. Faith expressing itself through your lips, but also that is stirring up faith inside you as you do so. And may your words prevail. Lift up your praise to God with shouts, because the Lord has taken away the judgments against you through his cross. He's cast out your enemies. The King of Israel is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. And now your head shall be lifted up above your enemies round about you, and you will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. So may we shout for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. Amen.